Waters. Welcome to episode 271 of Cosplot, the podcast for all things cosplay. Woo! Tonight is, unfortunately, just the Amber Show. I will be your host tonight as Val has the night off, but hopefully we will see her back very soon because I know you all love her and miss her as much as I do. So, for tonight's episode, we're going to be very all-con-centric for the beginning, and then we're going to have a soapbox episode, mostly because if you all remember from last episode, I did mention the 9 layers of cosplay hell, mostly as a half joke, kind of as a sideboard sort of thing. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought it might actually be really amusing to put together a Dante's hell of cosplay and to also see what you all would have in your 9 layers of cosplay. So that'll be later on in the episode. But first, we have cosplay updates, as we usually do. And of course, my update is, as usual, it's a pile of fabric. Yay! Because unfortunately, I have only been able to do a little bit of sewing recently. I have been out of town quite a bit recently on business, which is both good and bad. Good because, yay, business. Bad because I can't take my cosplay and sewing machine with me when I go. So I can't really work on cosplay as much when I have these things. I also have been trying to paint and seal and finesse all of the resin castings that I've been doing, because I know that for the cosplays that I have coming up, there will be plenty of jewelry and adornments that need to go on them. And so I've been working on getting those set up. And unfortunately, I learned another lesson that I will share with you all, because I really want you all to learn from my misfortunes so that it doesn't happen to you. I found out that the resin that I like to use, which is this little thing right here. This is EasyCast. You can get this at Joann's. They are not sponsoring the show. This is just what I use. Is very soft, even after it has completely cured and set and is in its final form, as it were. And because it is still considered fairly soft as a material, it gunked up my drill bits. Because what I was trying to do is, you all have seen that I cast all sorts of little quartz-shaped pieces. And when you want to use these in jewelry, you can't use them by themselves. You can either use something called a bale. And I did end up going out and buying bales after this. But the other thing that you would do is you would drill a hole right through the center of it, and you would use something called an eye pin, which is a little bit hard to see, but it's just a little loop on the top of a metal rod. This is all an eye pin is. And basically, you drill a hole down the center of it, you put some epoxy or some really heavy duty adhesive on the eye pin, and you just, and then you have a pendant. Ta-da! Very easy peasy. Until you can't use your drill bits anymore because they are full of resin that has now gunked them up. Because drills, when you use them, get hot. And that heat was enough to melt the resin back down again into a sort of very spongy type form. And so now I have to clean out all my drill bits. So that was rather unexpected and stopped a lot of cosplay progress, because the normal ways that I would clean out a drill bit did not work. You can't just use hot water. I can't just dip it in acetone. I'm going to have to figure something else out to clean out my drill bits. Yay! So you guys can learn from my misfortune. But that is what I have been working on. Unfortunately, I do have a little bit more travel coming up shortly, so I won't have too much progress. And also, there is this giant thing called AllCon that has been on my plate, and of course Val's as well, as we have been doing frantic preparations to make sure that everything is as ready for a smooth experience as we can for you all here in about a week from this recording. So by the time you all are hearing this, we will probably basically be in very much heads down, complete tunnel focus mode. So if you need to get a hold of us prior to the convention is preferable. Otherwise, you may need to wait until after the convention to send us things like emails and social media messages. So speaking of AllCon, segue. AllCon is in a week, y'all. And if you have not seen the post on Facebook already, we are so excited and happy to announce that we are actually almost at capacity for our participant roster in the cosplay contest. Yay! Everybody cheer, because we really, really wanted to hit capacity, because that's fun. We don't have very many slots left, before we hit capacity, and then we have to cut off all of the entries because there is no wait list this year, unfortunately. Basically, once we hit capacity, that's it. We stop accepting contestants, and that includes both via online forms, which we will have the link in the show notes, and it's also via AllCon site, or in person, because we do plan, if we have not hit capacity, to have a small contingent of slots for in-person signups, and there is a setup for that on site. But if we reach capacity, we won't need it. So please sign up ASAP if you think you're going to compete. Again, as we've mentioned before, we understand if life gets in the way, stuff happens, and that's okay. But we would rather you sign up and then have to drop than to kind of be anxious and maybe hold off on signing up, and then you decide at the last minute, oh, I want to go, and there's no slots left, because then, unfortunately, there's not much we can do to help you except to encourage you lots and lots to keep working on that cosplay, and we'll see you next year. So please sign up if you think that you would like to compete this year. We highly encourage cosplayers of all sorts to join us, whether you're beginner, whether you're experienced, whether you made the whole thing yourself or only part of it. We welcome everybody. If you've never competed before, it is a fantastic con to have a first competition experience at. It's very low stress, very low key. We show you everything that you need. It's very guided, very hands-on. It's really a solid experience for the first time. We run everything very smoothly, and you'll have plenty of time to have dinner with friends afterward. And remember that we do have fantastic prizes, including cash prizes, as well as photo shoots for all of the winners. So there's plenty to see and do while you are at AllCon. Please sign up for the cosplay contest before you go as part of your plans. And speaking of the cosplay contest, we have some amazing judges that are joining us this year. And I know that we have announced their names before, but we wanted to make sure that we tell you a little bit more about them so that you can kind of get to know our judging panel before you arrive at the cosplay contest, both for audience and for participating contestants. So our first judge is Erica Muse. And Erica has been making costumes since 2005 and acting since 2007. And she does mention that her passion for these things partially grew out of her experiences with bullying in school. And I think a lot of us can definitely relate to that. She actually turned her passions towards voice acting after a realization in 2018, and she's been doing VA work ever since in 2019. And if you would like to get to know some of her works, you can look for her at Funimation, Crunchyroll — do those have a new name since they've merged? I'm not sure — HBO, and Hi-Rez, among other projects. And of course, we'll have all of this information, including where you can find all of our judges, in the show notes as well, in case you are listening to this after the live recording. Our second judge is Miho Mouse Cosplay. And she is a Mexican-American cosplayer in the DFW area, so where we are. And she has been cosplaying since 2017. She specializes in crafting with EVA foam, making armor builds for her favorite fandoms in gaming, anime, and D&D. And if you get a chance to have a look at her Twitter, she does some amazing Critical Role cosplay. I am a fan. And last but definitely not least, because none of these judges are least in any way, they are all amazing cosplayers, Prop Monkey Studios. He's been a full-time artist for many years and has had the privilege of doing all sorts of different projects. He does illustrations, book covers, oil paintings — his website has quite a few pictures of those — sculpting, photography, life casting, prop building, pretty much anything that you could think of having to do with costuming, cosplay, and the arts, he has done, and he has done quite well. He finds a lot of pleasure in all of these different hobbies that he has. And he realized very quickly, as he was getting into cosplay, that there's a need to help prop builders when they're working with EVA foam. And of course, if you've worked with EVA foam, you know that there's a lot of less than benign chemicals that you tend to have to work with when using EVA foam. And so his goal was to produce practical, non-toxic products that cosplayers could use with EVA foam to kind of help your project along and save time. And again, all of these fine folks have websites and social media that you can go visit if you would like to see more of their work. And we will have all of that information for you available in the show notes. And of course, you can also see some of their information via social media. All right. So I believe that that is everything that we have in terms of updates for AllCon. We will try and keep you all updated if anything changes, of course, especially if we hit our cap for contestants. We will let you guys know ASAP via our social media as well. It may not necessarily be via AllCon's website, just because it may take a little bit more time to update the website. So if you want real-time information, please look at our social media first, because we know for sure. We have control over that. We can keep that up to date. So please check there first. And of course, if you all are planning to be at AllCon, please say hi to us. I know that we're probably going to look really busy, like we're chickens with no heads anymore. And we're probably going to look somewhat grumpy at certain times during the con. And I'm very sorry. I promise we don't mean to look that way. Just that we're going to be incredibly busy and incredibly focused at con. Just there's a lot of moving parts when you have to be part of the staff of a convention. So I promise you, you can say hi to us. I encourage you to say hi to us. If we can't stop and talk at that moment, we'll usually say as much. But as soon as we're done with whatever we're doing, you know, we'll invite you. Please come back, talk shop with us, say hi. Let us know what you think of the show. If there's any sort of topic that you would like us to cover in the future, any interview requests, things like that. We love talking with fans. Seriously, no matter how grumpy we look. Just please bear with us while we're at the con. So if you're there at AllCon, say hi to us. We would love to hear from you. Also, I know for sure, I can't speak for Val, but I know for sure I will be in cosplay. I would like to remind you all, for those who are traveling, especially from out of town, that it is supposed to be a little bit on the cool side that weekend for AllCon in terms of temperature. So please plan your cosplays accordingly. The rain forecast is on and off. Most of the con will probably be indoors anyway, but it will be just a little bit on the cool side. So keep that in mind for whatever cosplays that you plan on bringing with you. I will probably be in one of my Renaissance cosplays because those are intended for cooler weather and I can layer those up. No armor this time. I know, I can already hear Potters making fun of me. Where's your long wig and where's all of your armor? Well, when I'm running around conventions as staff or press, it's a lot harder if I have a long wig and if I'm in armor. It's harder to operate a camera that way. All right. I believe that is all of the updates that I have. Of course, please forgive me. I'm a little scatterbrained right now. So if I remember anything else, I will tack it on at the end of the show. So I'm going to go ahead and move on into today's topic, which is the Dante's Hell of Cosplay. For those who don't know about Dante's Hell is actually a real thing. It is an allegory. It's a literary piece that is more or less meant to explore kind of the darker side of human nature. So very Seven Sins-esque, if you will. And the story is basically going through all of the different nine circles of hell and what each one represents. And he talks to people who are in each one of those circles. And so I have drawn up my nine circles of cosplay hell. And I don't know if you all will agree with what I have, but I'm very interested in the discussion. So for those of you who are watching this live in the audience, I definitely encourage you to chime in and let me know how wrong I am or whether or not you agree with it and maybe some different things that you might add that I've forgotten because I had to narrow it down to nine. I had plenty more, but I had to narrow it down to nine, and then I had to rank them because Dante's Hells goes in order of the first circle to the ninth circle in order of worse and worse transgressions. So it actually, like, it gets much darker as you go on. And so I tried to rank all of my cosplay entries by least bad to most bad in my own eyes. I don't think you'll be surprised by number nine. So I'm going to begin with the first circle of hell for cosplay. The first circle of cosplay hell. And that is cheap commission requests. And the reason I put that in number one, which would be the least annoying slot, and this is actually a large part of the reason I stopped taking commission requests at all, is because people are going to ask you for bridal satin quality costumes for the price of costume sateen. And they'll be very serious about it. And please forgive me, I'm not trying to be insensitive, especially in these economic times and with inflation the way it is. I understand that people may not have as much money to spend. I very much understand. That's not what I'm getting at here. What I'm getting at here are requests that are so cheap as to basically cheapen the skill and the effort of the person you're asking to make the costume. If you're asking someone, in other words, to make a $200 ball gown for $25 or $50, that's what I mean for cosplay hell. Or if you can only pay $100 up front and then have a payment plan, I'm fine with that. I'm not talking about those sorts of things. So this is just for people that are like trying to get out dirt cheap for very high quality work. And as somebody who tries to do very high quality work and takes commissions very seriously, it's a bit insulting, to be honest. And it's very frustrating because you feel like your talent and all of the experience that you have is not valued, or at least it's very much undervalued. Because a lot of times when you commission from somebody, that somebody is experienced by years, not just in cosplay, but in whatever discipline that is involved in that cosplay. So you could say, well, I've been sewing for over 15 years. That's 15 years worth of experience that I had to gain before I could be this good for you to ask me to make something. So I need to recoup some of the costs that it took me to build all of that experience, because I had to pay out of pocket for those 15 years for practicing. Especially for those who had to actually go to formal education for their skills. You can take sewing in college. You can take theatrical makeup in college. You can take hairstyling at an esthetician school. You can actually go formally study these things and get very good at them. You should be compensated for your time and your effort and all of the learning that you had to do. That's the long and short of it. And I know that makes it sound like it should be in a much lower level than just level one, but it's more that the other ones are so much worse in my eyes, which is why that one is number one. And yes, Tamlin, I get you. I definitely understand. All right. So for number two, I think all of you will be able to relate with this one. Number two is dull scissors. And again, I know it sounds like this is such a minor thing, but have you ever tried cutting when you're in the middle of a very large piece of fabric with like school grade scissors? And they go dull very quickly. And I realize that, yes, you can buy something like a scissor sharpener. And these are inexpensive, and then you can, you know, run your scissors through it, and hey, you have sharp scissors again. You get three whole cuts, and then the scissors go dull again. And it's very much a pain in the rear end to have to go through an entire project's worth of fabric, which is usually several layers, probably almost up to a bolt of fabric in some cases, having to constantly sharpen bad scissors because they just go dull all the time. Scissors don't incidentally stay sharp forever, if you did not know that. And I'm not saying that to be sarcastic. I'm being very serious. Scissors don't stay sharp forever, even if they tell you they do. Eventually, they will dull down, especially if you use your scissors. I know I'm about to commit a blasphemy. If you use your scissors to cut different materials, I can hear Potter's throwing scissors at me already. If you have a pair of scissors that you use for fabric, please only use them for fabric. They will dull less quickly. They'll still dull, don't get me wrong, less quickly. So you don't have to sharpen them as much, which is why it's in my second layer of hells, because they dull very quickly sometimes. Have a different pair of scissors for everything else that is not fabric. Fabric scissors, not so fabric scissors. These will dull faster if you cut things like paper, cardboard, aluminum foil, things like that. These will dull faster, and you'll dull your fabric scissors if you cut those other materials faster too. So dull scissors are my number two circle of cosplay hell. I do not like dull scissors, and it drives me bonkers when I have to make very fine cuts and all of my scissors have already become dull. Also, better quality scissors will stay sharp longer too. I will set those down before I hurt myself with them as I flail around. All right. My number three circle. We are a third of the way there of cosplay hell. Sanding. Say what? Amber, you're a prop maker. You like props. Why is sanding in hell? Have you ever tried to sand a project that requires many layers of sanding? If you get a chance, and again, we're not sponsored by this, but we actually did a review of the book. Go pick up Volpin's book on painting and go read through it. It's an ebook, so it's inexpensive. I think $10 or $15 when last I looked at it. But go pick up a copy of his book. It's a very solid book and worth your money. But he goes into a lot of detail about the many, many layers of sanding. And you have to sand and then sand again and then sand again, and you wet sand multiple times, and then you have to put more layers of paint, sand some more. Sanding can be hell. And one of the things that you'll end up having to do eventually as a cosplayer, if you want to make props on a regular basis, is you have to buy multiple grits of sandpaper. And you can see here from the listing that this is a multi-pack. So this has many different, or I'm sorry, this side. This has many different grits of sandpaper. And you start from the lower numbers, so 100, 200, and then you work your way up to something like 3,000. And that should tell you how many times you have to change sandpaper and sand and wet sand and sand again. Having tools helps. So if you have something like a Dremel, or if you have something like an orbital sander or a mouse sander or a belt sander, which you can go Google all of these different tools if you don't know what they are. Having tools does help. You still have to sand repeatedly and paint repeatedly and do filler and priming and sealing and all of that fun stuff. If you sand things correctly, it looks insanely good when you're done. And you can tell if somebody has actually done a lazy sanding job just by looking at the finish on a prop or an accessory. So it's worth the work. It's just a royal pain in the rear. And there's nothing that you can really do to make that go away. Unless, of course, if you 3D print the thing, if it can be 3D printed, and then you put it into a bleach bath, the bleach will do the etching job for you. But bleach is also highly toxic, so keep that in mind. And not everybody has a 3D printer, and not everything can be 3D printed. So it doesn't apply to everything. Chances are good you'll have to sand. So that is my third layer of cosplay hell. All right, moving on into the middle third. Oh, we've done so many soapboxes on this one. Number four, poorly run cosplay competitions. Say, that should be higher. Well, if I had done more of them, it probably would have been. But I haven't done many unique, poorly run cosplay competitions. I've pretty much done the same ones at the same cons over and over. And you all have heard us talk about them. Poorly run cosplay competitions are not only a supreme waste of time that didn't have to be wasted, not just on, you know, my part. I'm not speaking selfishly. I'm speaking of all the contestants, all the staff that have to work it, all of the audience members that sit through it, and all of the hotel staff that also have to help with it, and all of the stage hands and crew. It's just a colossal use of time that you don't really need to have. Not to mention that it takes the participants and the staff away from other parts of the con they could be enjoying during that time, instead of standing around waiting for the run-through of the cosplay contest because something happened and it got held up. I won't touch judging, because that could get into a really long discussion that I don't think we have time for this particular episode, but it might be an after session in a different episode. But just in general, when you have a poorly run cosplay competition as a competitor, by the end of it, it makes you not want to not only join that competition anymore, but compete at all. It's a very easy way to drop morale for cosplay in general. Not even just competing, just cosplaying in general. Spent all that time getting into the, well, let me take a step back. You spend all that time making the cosplay. Then you spend all that time getting into the cosplay. Then you spent all that time going through the competition and all of the rehearsals and prejudging and all that other stuff that goes into them, run through the entire competition. By that point, you've spent days, if not weeks or months worth of work, blood, sweat, and tears, sometimes literally in the case of cosplayers. And you just get that sense that it's not worth it anymore. And I don't like that feeling at all. I hate that feeling so much because I want cosplayers to love cosplay. I want it to be a positive experience as much as possible. Obviously, it will never be a 100% positive experience. There's ups and downs just like life. But as much as I can control it and encourage other people, I want people to love cosplay as a fun thing to do. I don't want them to hate it as a burdensome chore that they have to go through in order to get to the fun. That's not cool. That's, in a way, why we run our contests the way we do. We've taken all of our experiences from the past, both mine and Val's, as well as those of our friends, and kind of boiled those down into a best practices that we actually try our best to follow. So we will do our best to run a very concise, smooth contest, very inviting and accepting of everybody. It's all about fair play across the board. We're very transparent, at least as much as we can be, both with the competitors and with the judging staff and with the audience. We try and keep everything very upbeat. We even choose our own music. We choose our own halftime show. We select the judges ourselves so that we make sure that they're qualified. And then we also make sure that we show everybody, here's how you walk across the stage. Here's how you get down. Yay, audience applaud. And we make sure that the audience actually applauds them too, because we want to make sure everybody's recognized. And then we try our best to make sure that we also give out good prizes, because we want to reward people for the effort they put into the cosplay. We're cosplayers. We understand how much effort you put into that cosplay. We know. We've done it too. So poorly run cosplay competitions are my number four layer of cosplay hell. And I am now retired from competition, so never have to experience one of those again. All right. Number five. I can already hear Val. Matching dye lots. Matching dye lots of fabric is my number five. And oh my, oh, it has been so hard. And it actually just impacted me with the Athena costume that I'm making. And I don't know if this is going to show up on camera. I want to see if it will. Got one piece here and one piece here. These are the two kinds of fabric that I have for Athena. Can you tell what's wrong? They're the exact same kind of fabric. They're the exact same kind. Slightly different dye lots. This one is ivory. This one is off-white. I can't use them together because you can see the color difference. They're not the same dye lot, and I cried because I started cutting my pieces out of one, only to find, as I tried to match them up to their other pieces, their other half, they don't match. So I wasted all that work. Ugh. And I also figured out that I didn't have enough fabric. And the difficult thing is, especially if you buy fabric online, it's a little different if you buy it in stores, because you can take swatches with you to the store. And they're generally okay with that, as long as it's a small swatch. But if you buy it online, it can be very much a gamble that you get a close enough dye lot to what you bought before that you can use whatever you buy additionally from that same shop. It may not be the same dye lot, even though they use the same dyeing techniques each time and they do it with a machine. All it takes is just a little change, and it's enough that the human eye can see it, and then you basically get stuck. You have the choice, granted, you can take the chance of re-dyeing fabric. If it's the wrong color and it's only a little bit off, generally you can try and fix it. It may or may not work because, again, circumstances change and sometimes dyes like to act funny. And even then, I've had the same problem, not just buying fabrics online, which these were both bought online, but I've also had the same problem when hand dyeing fabric, where you do the exact same process, you repeat it same time limits because you have to time how long you dye things. And same amount of salt, same temperature of water. I even have a thermometer to check. Same amount of dye. Fabric comes out different color. And it's like, what did I do? What did I do wrong? I did the exact same process. Both. Why is it different? Honestly, it doesn't really matter why it's different. It just is. And you kind of end up having to deal with it as best as you can. And it can not necessarily make or break a cosplay project, but if you're very pseudo ADHD, as I can be a lot of the time, as long as you know it's there, it bothers you. You can disguise it all you want in the costume. It can be very, very close dye lots, but as long as you know, it just bothers you. It bothers you so much because you know it's there. And again, I am not making fun of ADHD. Please don't get me wrong. That's just how I work. If I know something is wrong in a costume, it bothers me immensely because I know it's wrong. Especially if I can fix it. All right. Number six, another one that you all will be surprised. Why is this on your list, Amber? Chemical adhesives. And the reason for that is because it makes it very difficult to work with cosplay if there's inclement weather outside, or if it's uber cold, or if it's uber hot. And of course, you know that we are from Texas, and Texas likes to play around with the weather randomly. So it can be 33 degrees one day and 73 degrees the next day with thunderstorms, which has actually happened in the state of Texas. And because you have chemicals like this lovely thing, which this is Super 77, or you can have chemicals like this sort of thing. This is my friend E6000. Both of these should not be used indoors at all, because they are extraordinarily toxic. They smell, and not only do they smell, everything else around them smells. I can stink up my entire apartment with a single use of Super 77. I can stink up the entire room that I'm sitting in with one dab of E6000. That's all it takes. And not to say that these are bad adhesives. They're not bad. Obviously, don't eat them. Spackling is not frosting. But you have to take safety precautions with them, and they should be used only outdoors. So if you can't go outdoors, then it makes it really hard to work on cosplay. And that's why it's in my level of hell. Not just for the smell, because the smell gives me migraines when I have to work with it, but also because I can't always go outside to work on cosplay. So I either have to make the choice of stinking up my apartment and living in a respirator for the next 24 hours, or I have to wait until the weather gets better. And as you all have noticed in some of our past broadcasts, where I end up either having no updates or ruined updates because the weather changed and I can't, you know, go out and paint props, I can't do my casting, it ruined my casting, et cetera, et cetera. You know that the weather can be very impactful where it comes to making. Which, speaking of, yes, the recent weather change did in fact ruin an entire set of castings. They turned out like jelly. And I literally rolled them up into a little ball before I threw them away. And I was so mad. Because there was nothing I could do about it. And I'm pretty darn sure it was the humidity from all those thunderstorms we had. Caused the resin to not set completely. And so it was really effectively like jelly. Not very helpful. All right. We are now in the final third. These are the three worst things in my cosplay world. This is probably where you will disagree with me the most, actually. Number seven, miscutting fabric. This has happened to me so many times. And there's an idiom in cosplay, and they'll tell you, measure twice, cut once. In my case, I actually need to measure probably a good three times. And even then, the measuring isn't entirely the problem. The problem is when I have to cut multiple layers of fabric, because if you have to cut, say, on a fold, then you take, you know, your your piece of fabric and you fold it in half, like so. Here's the fold right here. And then you trace your piece, only half of it. And then you cut your piece out so that when you unfold it, you get two halves of a whole. So you get your whole piece. Well, sometimes, depending on the way the fabric is arranged on the table, I cut through more layers than I had meant to. Like the next layer under the piece that I was not supposed to cut into. And then I have a giant hole in the center of my panel of fabric. And for those who have been to Joann's and have ever gotten remnants in a bolt of fabric, to where you ask them, okay, I need 3 yards of this. And then they start unrolling the bolt on the table, and all you see are yard-long pieces. And they're like, well, I have 4 yards left on the bolt, but there'll be 4 yard-long pieces. Is that okay? And it's like, great, now I have to figure out if I can piece the costume together because they don't have one long 4 yard piece that I need. Some of the pieces have to be cut on the fold. Ugh. And it makes it so much harder, especially because certain fabrics have a grain to them. You can only cut them that direction. If you cut fabric in the wrong direction or not following the grain, if it's a very loosely woven fabric, especially cottons and polyesters are like this, you can see it in the costume and it looks lazy. It looks poorly tailored. And it kind of takes away a little bit from the overall elegance sometimes of a costume because, again, we love seeing people in cosplay. We want to see these cool things. And if you have random cuts in the middle of where you were supposed to have this long, elegant skirt piece, there's nothing you can do about it except maybe try and disguise it. Or if you have enough fabric, you can try and cut another piece. But a lot of times, especially if you're working with really expensive fabrics like bridal satins, true velvets, 100% organic cottons, things like that, you don't buy a lot of extra because it can be very expensive. These can be $50, $100 fabric per yard. You're not going to buy like twice as much as you need. So you have to be very, very careful on those to not make mistakes. There's just no room for error. You don't have enough room to cut another piece. And that's why miscutting fabric is so high on the list for me. It can actually make or break a costume, especially if that fabric was, say, discontinued, or if it was a very specific dye lot. If you can't get more fabric, you're out of luck. Congratulations, you get to try and MacGyver something. Of course, there's always the option to bling something up to cover up any holes that shouldn't be there. Just bear in mind that having a hole in a fabric affects the structure of the fabric too. So something to keep in mind if you're going to try and MacGyver your way out of it. I totally would. I MacGyver everything. All right. Number 8. I can already hear Val again. Prosthetics. I hate prosthetics so much. I don't like wearing them. I don't like maintaining them. They would have been my number 9, my absolute worst, if not for the thing that I put in slot 9. But it got to the point where you all may recognize my lovely latex ears from Eridani Studios. And I am not knocking Eridani. I love Eridani. I would buy more products from them. I just don't like latex ears generally, not theirs specifically. I don't like having to put on spirit gum to wear them and to try and remove them without losing hair in the process, because I always lose hair in the process and it's always painful. These degrade over time. You can only use special makeup with them. They're not inexpensive. They have to be replaced more often than I would like. Just don't like prosthetics generally. Not just ears, prosthetics in general. In fact, it was to the point where I didn't like these so much that I got the clip-on version, so that I can just easily on and off, and these will last a lot longer. No need for weird makeup, no need for spirit gum, no need for any of that stuff, or pulling my hair out because I have little enough as is. So, these are okay. Don't like latex prosthetics. No. Bad. No. Of course, most people will associate me with elves and elf cosplay, so I will probably be forever doomed to wear prosthetic ears. I'll live with that. Nothing else. All right, so we have come to my number 9, my absolute worst thing in cosplay that makes it hell for me. And in fact, there are 3 things that I've kind of clustered all together because they're basically in the same category. Sleeves, buttons, zippers. It's not that I dislike sleeves in terms of wearing them. Obviously, I am wearing sleeves now. They are fine. They are wonderful in cold weather. Wearing them is fine. Likewise with buttons. Buttons are great. Buttons can be cute. I like buttons, especially themed buttons. They're awesome. Wearing them is just fine. And lastly, zippers. Love zippers, especially invisible ones, especially separating ones. I use them a lot. Wearing them, great. Love them. Installing any of those 3 is what I hate the most. And let me explain, sleeves is actually the worst. Probably, if I had to rank them in order from least bad to most bad, it would be buttons, zippers, sleeves. And I don't mind buttons. I hate making buttonholes. Buttonholes are a royal pain in the rear. I hate them so much, whether it's by machine or whether it's by hand. Doesn't matter. They all are terrible. Or at least I am terrible enough at it, and I get so frustrated with it that it will actually make me enjoy the cosplay I'm wearing less because I had to go through it to make it. Same thing with zippers. I understand. And in fact, you can go to our channel, and Val did a fantastic tutorial on how to install zippers correctly. And it's so easy peasy to follow. Go look. But just the act of having to get the fabric to match up neatly, to having to get the zipper color to match the fabric color, all the different kinds of zippers. Sometimes the zipper gets stuck and it won't open all the way. You have to worry. Sometimes the teeth get misaligned and then you have to worry about fixing the zipper. Just installing zippers and maintaining them is not fun. And honestly, if I could make things without zippers and still have them fit without having to make everything out of jersey, I probably would. Except that I think jersey hates my sewing machine even more than it hates zippers. And the worst of all are sleeves. This is what a sleeve pattern looks like. Here is why I hate sleeves. When you have a sleeve pattern, you'll notice at the top that there is a distinctly longer side, marked 3, and then there is a somewhat shorter side, marked 1.5. And this is because the seam on a sleeve pattern goes on the inside of your arm. Your arm is not symmetric. There is a longer distance to that point going around the back than there is around the front. And so necessarily one side of the sleeve pattern will be short. That's the side that goes in the front. One side will be longer. That's the side that goes in the back. The problem is when you chop off and instead of a 3, you make this a 2 and you keep this a 1.5. Well, 2 and 1.5 are not very far apart and it can be very difficult to tell which end of the pattern is supposed to go in the front, which end of the pattern is supposed to go in the back. There is still a side. It's not reversible. It's not like you can put, you know, 1 on the wrong side and go, oh, this was supposed to be the right sleeve and I put it on the left. I'll just put the left sleeve on the right and it'll be fine. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to take the whole thing apart and you have to do it over again. Yes, I am on a soapbox rant. That's fine. I have had to take apart more sleeves than I can count. And it happens on almost every single costume I make, unless, you know, the long side is very obviously longer and I can tell, because sometimes even the notches don't necessarily help. I don't like sleeves on cosplay for that reason. Not to mention that gathering them evenly can be extremely difficult and time consuming. And yes, I know that, you know, there are some tips and tricks that you can try. It doesn't always work for every costume and every type of fabric, because sewing with silk versus sewing with cotton versus sewing with knit and spandex are all very different things when you have to gather fabric. And even in different patterns, the height of the cap of the sleeve, how tall that is, affects how you have to gather it. So if some patterns have shorter sleeve caps, you have to gather it differently so the tips don't always work. I hate sleeves so much. That is why they are in my 9th level of hell. And that is why they're the worst thing in cosplay. And if I could, I would make all sleeveless cosplay that don't have zippers and don't have buttons. Now, granted, almost all of my cosplays have zippers because, unfortunately, not all of them can be made out of spandex, especially as somebody with my body shape. I would not feel comfortable. So that's kind of my compromise. Is since I don't do buttons, buttonholes are much worse than just doing one zipper. Then just one zipper is all I will tolerate, and that's what I stick in my costume. And most of the time, it is a zipper on the back, so you can't even see it. And it's usually covered by other things. So I don't even do side zippers, don't do front zippers. Most of the time, if I can swing it, I will use elastic bands. I love elastic bands. I don't do zippers for pants. I don't do zippers for skirts. It's all elastic because I hate zippers that much. I feel fulfilled now. I am hopping off of my soapbox. You all can, you know, unplug your ears now. It's okay. It's safe for work now. I'm not going to rant anymore about sleeves. And yes, I agree, Tamlin. Sleeves are evil. And yes, Starman, we are in fact talking about hell. So those have been my 9 levels of cosplay hell. You may agree or disagree with them, and that is perfectly fine. I highly encourage discussion. In fact, if you would like to let us know what your 9 levels of cosplay hell would be, or if you would like to let us know maybe what you would change about the 9 levels of hell that I gave you, you are more than welcome to contact us via any of the social media, which you can find in my top left, or you can contact us via email, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us, along with specially curated Nick Cage memes. No, I cannot promise that they will have anything to do with Dante's Inferno or Hell, but I'm sure we can find plenty of Ghost Rider-themed memes that will come close. Otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there. There will not be an after session tonight, as we're going to be taking care of some things after the show. So you have extra time to work on those cosplays. We hope to see your smiling, shining faces at the convention shortly. Otherwise, keep working on those cosplays. We will see you next time in episode 272. Good night, everybody. Happy cosplaying.